I figured there'd be more yelling, so I didn't.
Just do it. Oh, it makes you feel so good, does it not? Mason O'Neill's Good Morning, the Nugget Wolf Show. Savages in the Morning Broadcasting. Bang that bell if you got it. The bell tower. The Ock Chin Community Studios. Good Quasimodo Wednesday. Hump day, my brothers. Time to go down that hill into the weekend, is it not?
I don't know if this is a compliment to the show or it means we're going to get blown out pretty soon.
Blown out.
But we're at the point now where we're getting interns that were in kindergarten when the Doug and Wolf show first started.
Yes. What's your point?
The point is, I can tell whether or not an intern has grown up listening, like in dad's car, mom's car, grown up listening to the Doug and Wolf show.
Yeah.
Or whether they just applied and hoped to get an internship at a sports station and have no idea who we are.
Maybe that's why they look at us like Adam Gase was looking at the people asking him questions at his presser.
I don't say us. I say you. Because I can watch you yelling and making all your noises. And if the interns kind of laugh and like, wow, I actually get to see this. You can see they grew up listening to the Doug and Wolf show. And if they do the Adam Gay stare, you can tell it's, what did I sign up for?
You know what?
Can I go back to Burns and Gambo? I mean, you can see what that look says on their face.
You want to freak out your family, Basinonians? This is what you do right here. Easter dinner, right? Would you say that Easter dinner, it's kind of a big dinner right there, right? Just go ahead and sit down at the table and start looking at everybody the way Adam Gase was looking at those people asking them questions. You want to freak your family out? Go ahead and do that, man. This is a joke. Honestly, that is just unbelievable.
It is creepy.
You've got to be kidding me. What was going on there? Somebody tell me what was going on. So I still have not gotten a good explanation as to what was going on.
Nobody has asked Adam Gase, why are your eyes all buggy? Because when he's wearing his Dolphins hat on the sideline, I've never seen him look like that. He looks like a reasonably normal guy. And then we just put the pictures up on the screen, and now Wolf's losing it.
Just think
but
about it.
It's almost every single one is he's got this bug-eyed stare, and you don't see it on the sidelines. I don't get it.
His dead man stare at the introductory press conference was alarming, intense, and just completely hysterical. It was this unbelievable confluence of weird, whack, and Waco, all wrapped in one big sloppy talk show taco.
Funny you went with Waco, considering that's where the coach that they might have had, Matt Rhule, was coaching from.
Yeah, it's just, what is going on? That was so odd, and I didn't even recognize him when he sat down. I was like, because I didn't get the sound on it when I first saw it. I just saw it. And I was like, who is this guy sitting down?
First time I had seen him without a Dolphins hat.
Wow. That was just odd, man. Again, I'm not trying to make fun of the guy at all. It was just, somebody actually texted me and said, is he high? I mean, it was a legitimate question.
I admit I wasn't going to go there, but.
Well, I got a text.
I got tons of tweets on that exact topic, but I'm thinking I'm not going to touch that one.
Well, like, anyone who saw it, you would have to agree with me. What was going on?
It was weird. Before a little bit after Bruce Arians met with the media in his press conference, he did two things that I think he felt implied to do. Number one is always come on the Doug and Wolf show.
Yeah.
And number two is go on with Adam Schefter. And I'm sure you do this as a listener. You listen to a Doug and Wolf conversation. Hopefully you enjoy them. And every now and then you're going, oh, why didn't you ask this? Well, I admit, after having Bruce Arians on and then hearing him on the Adam Schefter podcast, I thought, oh my gosh, why didn't we ask this? But Adam Schefter asked him about Antonio Brown.
Was that the Antonio that you knew and drafted back in 2011 or whatever year it was?
He was hardest working. He and Emmanuel Sanders, boy, they went after it because Mike Thomas always telling two dogs, one bone. At that time, we had Mike Wallace, Hines Ward, and we had a pretty good room. for one of them to get on the field. And by the end of the season, they were both winning for us to go to the Super Bowl.
So as I stab myself in the back here, I asked the question without Bruce Arians on the phone now. And the question should have been, you have coached Antonio Brown.
Yes.
You have coached Larry Fitzgerald. Could they come together and Fitz be able to knock the diva out of him? Or do you think Antonio Brown would screw up a young quarterback in Josh Rosen if he's still this diva mentality?
Sure.
And just let Bruce kind of opine on whether or not Larry could help him. Or yes. Is Antonio too far gone?
Yeah, interesting. That'd be a great question.
Because I need
we'll
to know that.
To
I want Antonio
time.
Brown if I believe that Larry Fitzgerald can. But if his ego is so out of whack that he's even going to be this version of Antonio Brown with Larry Fitzgerald
sure.
in the receiver room, then this guy is gone.
Listen, there's so much I want to say on this, Basinonians, and so little time. My older brother, Craig, of course, is a sideline analyst for the Pittsburgh Steelers and has been for decades. I'll leave it right there. Antonio Brown, when he first showed up with the Steelers, this was a kid that was just an awesome kid by all accounts. And all he did was work his butt off. And if I'm Antonio Brown, and I listen to B.A. and what B.A. said, this kills me. This absolutely kills me. Maybe it hurts me so much I'll stop doing what I've been doing and just play football again. Humility is a wonderful master after all. This is a lifeline. B.A. threw a lifeline to Antonio Brown. Okay, that's dramatic. I understand that. But just play along with a metaphor. Antonio Brown is out there metaphorically swimming in the ocean right now. And if he continues down this path of arrogance and diva that he has engaged, I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that he's going to sink, metaphorically speaking, once again. Now he's got to decide whether or not he wants to grab onto the lifeline that BA threw out to him. Hearing B.A. talk about when you first came into the league and how hard you worked and the way you went about your business and what a great kid you were and how you just treated everybody like a great person and where you are today, either you are going, this is the reason why I say humility is a wonderful master, because it's going to allow Antonio Brown to heed those words, to hear what it is that Bruce Arians is saying and say he's right. And grab out of the lifeline and go on and change the course of his career or not.
There have got to be people in that locker room that still supported AB until that Bengals game. No matter how you felt about it, even if you thought Ben Roethlisberger was wrong in some made-up way, if you thought Mike Tomlin was wrong in some made-up, I don't know. But even his staunchest supporters, name a player in the NFL that has a guy skip out on practice the week before a game that determines whether or not you go to the playoffs. Now, granted, they won that game.
And they did call after and say, oh, we missed it because of this.
Yeah, and the Ravens won, so it eliminated the Steelers. But imagine if the Ravens would have lost and then the Steelers lose too. That would have been the elimination game for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man.
And you had Antonio Brown not there. When it gets to that point, I don't know how you save it.
He's either going to grab onto that lifeline that BA threw out there, or he's not.
Last night, Suns a loser. The head coach said once again, we didn't show up. How many times are we going to hear that this year? Let's talk to Tim Kempton, one of our favorite guests, Suns analyst, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Almost always in the NBA, you play a game, and then you get on the plane, fly out to your next destination. Suns are taking on Toronto tomorrow night. Al and Tim will have the play-by-play call at 5:30, but Tim Kempton is not in Toronto as the team is staying in Indiana the night and then flying out to Toronto later today to get in an extra practice. So TK had the time to grab the Coulter Automotive Group sports line and call in. Tim, I cheated and looked at the weather. How you doing in Indianapolis right now?
Just enjoying the cold, brisk air of Indiana, make us appreciate that nice weather we have when we get home.
Oh, that's nice of you, because if I'm correct in my geography, you made the horrific decision in your life to actually live in Indiana for about 4 years of your life, right?
Yeah, I sure did. The great University of Notre Dame was home for a couple of years.
How did you enjoy your time in Indiana and Notre Dame? You don't forget
Indiana.
About
love,
that.
love the Midwest, all the lakes around here. It's phenomenal. Great people.
That's fun. I got to tell you, Tim, I don't know how many times I've heard it. I like Igor the guy, but how many times have I heard at a post-game press conference so far, we didn't show up, and he dropped that line again, and you were right there to watch a 20-point deficit in the first quarter. What's weird about it is I get the feeling when Devin Booker is playing, guys stand. So I'm not going to say the dumb thing, they're a better team without Devin Booker, but, man, do they stand around and do nothing when D-Book's in there? Do you see the same thing?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And that's on the players and Devin himself trying to figure that out. You look the other night playing against the Denver Nuggets, what, 28 assists? On 35, 36 buckets, the ball's moving, and Devin's smart enough. Listen, he's going to be a great player, and the team and the Suns are going to figure it out because their roster has definitely gotten better. But yeah, you have to keep moving. You have to keep making plays for teammates, no matter who's on the floor, whether it's LeBron James, Devin Booker, or whoever else you want to throw out there. And last night was a great example of it. You look at the Indiana Pacers and how they've been playing all year long. They mm-hmm. score 131 points, and not one player had over 20 points. So you got seven guys in double figures. They're moving the ball. They're sharing it. Doesn't matter who scores, you know, but if you're open, then it's your shot. Take it, because they're confident in each other. And that's the maturity level that the Indiana Pacers are at, that other teams are at, that the Suns haven't achieved yet because of where they are in their growth.
Timmy, what did you think of the officiating
it's terrible.
Last night? Honestly, you've seen this pattern over and over again, correct?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, you try to stay away from it within the game, but it's becoming so bad. That it is. It's got to be a topic every night. And I don't know if it's fair to the officials. I don't know who's telling them. I even said last night on the broadcast, I'd love to go to a training session to figure out what they're telling these guys to do, because it is just so horrendous the way you just run into someone, you're going to get a foul. You know, last night, Sixers 149, Hawks 142, Warriors 142, Pacers 131. The offense is just so artificially inflated in the NBA game right now. It's bad. You're in an era of some of the most talented players that have ever played the game, and it's really bad basketball, and it shouldn't be that way right now.
You're listening to Tim Kempton. The stats that back up his point is the Suns shot 50%. In two ways, 50% from the free throw line, and they shot 50% worth of free throws compared to what Indiana shot. As the Suns shot 18 free throws and the Pacers shot 36. And TK, I'm worried about something. Two technicals last night, and I've been bringing this up for a while. I will not argue Igor's brilliant basketball mind and the amount of good basketball people, yourself included, who has told me how knowledgeable this guy is about the game. But you also know there are guys that are just assistant coaches. And I'm thinking, if he doesn't start standing up to refs and yelling at them and throwing a fit, I know it might look silly, but you know full well, players need to know the coach has their back. And I see him too calm while the refs are just running over these guys. Am I on to something?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You know, that's not Igor's personality to do that. I've even said, if you go back and look at some of the sound checks where I've said Igor may have to take a tee here for his team, because just that fact that the refs are running over them and whatnot. That's not Igor's style. He's trying to get these guys, because they're the players in some regards. We know Josh Jackson is an emotional guy.
Mm-hmm.
we know TJ Warren, when he gets frustrated, he says something. So Igor is actually trying to play the other way, so it doesn't get worse.
Okay.
Almost to that fact. I agree there are sometimes a head coach has got to stand up, and we may see it going further down the line here. This is Igor's first year. We're halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
He may get that later on in the season, but right now he's just trying to set a tone with his team that let's take care of what we control and not really, you know, rely or worry about the officiating. Now, that obviously may change in the second half here, and I understand it, but I've even said it on a couple of broadcasts where I thought the officiating was getting out of hand, that he needed to take a tee.
Yeah. You should have stood up and got the tee. You know, you should have done it, Timmy.
Hey, if you guys listen to the microphone, there are times that I try to get a tee when I take my headset off and yell at the officials. But we're only
so
close,
Timmy,
enough to yell at them in five places.
I
know. So,
that's
Timmy,
a high above the.
You're telling me this is not a philosophy of Igor Kokoshkov. This is not a philosophy
exactly.
of his.
Mm-hmm.
This is just his personality. He can control himself that much.
That's
the amazing thing. I look at him, and yes, you know, where there's a bad call, and especially at home. When they're shooting free throws on our end where Al and I sit, you know, there's a bad call. I'll take off my headset and I'll look at Igor and look at him talking to the official. And I'm ready to jump over and just throttle the official. And Igor's that's just his personality. It is.
Wow.
We're talking to at Suns TK, Tim Kempton, color analyst of the Phoenix Suns. Okay, here's something else I'm worried about. Your job today is to try to make me feel better. You've heard of the phrase quarterback whisperer. I brought up today, I think there's a Josh Jackson whisperer. Sometimes this kid is fantastic. In other games, it's like somebody's in his head, a family member, an agent, something, and he just has the dumbest turnovers, whipping the ball around without looking and then thinking it's a no-look pass when it's no, the guy's not even open. And then the shot selection is just, I'm tired of this, I want to score. And it's like one game versus another, and I don't understand it. I believe in the kid, but man, he's got to just listen to coaches. Do you kind of worry about who he's listening to?
No, I don't think he's. When you have a player like Josh, you know, you have to give him a little bit of leeway, because that's what makes Josh good when he's really good, is that aggressiveness, that kind of living on the edge. That's who Josh Jackson is, and he's got to really figure it out himself. The best way to do that is to watch film and for him to see it himself, because he doesn't, you know, you can tell him all those things, but Josh is still thinking, well, that was a good play. You have to show it to him for him to visualize it and see that it wasn't, because he's that guy that has to play with that edge. He's got to kind of play with a little bit of that out of control type player for him to be effective. I understand exactly what you mean, that sometimes it looks really, really bad. But when he's really, really good, and I think that's part of the maturation process.
Okay.
I think that's Josh getting more playing time, getting a bigger role, because I think he's played fairly well this year, and he's played exceptionally well when he's been on.
Yeah.
Timmy,
yeah.
You know, pull up some video, if you will, on your phone of Ric Flair and show it to Igor, okay?
Well, it couldn't happen at a better time. We're going to Charlotte later in the week, you know, and Rick still lives in the Charlotte area.
Hey,
Ron, you'll appreciate this. This is actually the 30th anniversary of the Charlotte Hornets. Back in the day, that first year when I was an original Charlotte Hornet, that was the heyday. Ric Flair and those guys used to come in the locker room all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it. You got to show Igor some video
Tim
of Ric
Kempton
Flair
and
tell
Flair.
Him, go Ric Flair.
Yeah. Just Tim Kempton and Ric Flair. Fantastic. Have a safe trip to Toronto, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, DK.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks for having
Thanks,
me.
Timmy.
Tim Kempton on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I've never heard his Ric Flair stories. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. The way teams are hiring coaches is changing dramatically. Trend or a one-shot deal? It's next. because it affects the Cardinals on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul, I don't know if you heard this, but the referees were announced for the championship game.
Mm.
And
Tails is the call.
It didn't slip. Clint Blakeman will be doing the AFC, if you're wondering. He's got the AFC game. AFC championship game.
Let me tell you, don't get into a game of dice with Clint Blakeman. The guy's a wizard and a master when it comes to games of chance, because I don't know. What we saw there, that defied all probabilities, did it not? Come on now.
It didn't flip. So we had to bring that back for Paul there. We had a Paul, I don't know if you buy into this. We had a great conversation today with Steve Wyche, the NFL.com and NFL Network reporter. And I have been under the belief that if we're going to go after these young hotshot coaches all the time, by the way, there's a new one. Just because now if you're the brother of a coach who has been somewhere around Sean McVay, you're a hot topic. We've heard of this Zach Taylor guy.
Sure.
Who's going to possibly be the Bengals head coach. He's got a brother, Press Taylor. And Press Taylor is the Eagles quarterback coach.
Is his middle name Man?
Not that I know, Press Van Taylor. And therefore, we're wondering, some people are saying, hey, here's the next one. Look out for this guy. But I bring this up because Steve Wyche is saying he doesn't think this is a new trend of GMs being kind of more in charge of finding your coaching staff, because he thinks this is a one-time deal where eight teams said, you're not the guy, and then there wasn't a round of hot head coaches, and once there's a new round of hot head coaches with the new GMs, it'll be back to the coach hiring his staff. And I understand why he said it, but I got to tell you, I think the trend of the inexperienced guy as your head coach is going to continue, and he just doesn't have the same contacts as a guy that's been a GM for a long time.
There's a much bigger force, I would have to say, at work here, Basinonians, and that is the fact that organizations are actually targeting individuals and valuing what it is that they do and keeping them on, coaches, keeping coaches on, holdovers from staff to staff. That is a paradigm shift in the National Football League. It just is. And it's coming to light based on this new model of getting this young, brilliant offensive mind and pairing them with this older defensive coordinator. But more and more, you're seeing it. You're seeing organizations that are valuing assistant coaches and saying, you know what? If we're going to hire you as head coach, we want you to take this guy on as your staff.
To your point, keeping the special teams coach.
Yes, exactly right. It's happening all over the league, though.
Mm-hmm. But if this trend continues where the four teams left standing are the four highest scoring teams in the NFL, that's the trend that trumps everything. That's where this search begins and ends. These teams are looking for the next great offensive mind to try and match firepower with the other high-scoring teams. So whether that next guy is an assistant in the NFL, and based on most of the searches this year, that does not exist. So they're mm-hmm. even dipping into the college game. So as long as they keep going for guys who are considered offensive gurus, doesn't matter what level or where they come from, if they don't have the NFL context, then this will have to. I mean, this is not even a choice.
Oh, no.
Cliff Kingsbury doesn't have the knowledge of other NFL assistants. It's not just something that, you know, all of a sudden there's a power, you know, control surge in the front office. And they have to. And if they're going to keep going after these offensive minds from the college game, then they have no other choice. And so although Steve Wyche said this might be a one-year thing, that to me is contingent upon whether they keep hiring college coaches who are just tasked basically with the offensive side of the ball.
Here's what Steve Wyche said to us a little bit ago.
At 100%. Okay. And I was actually speaking to an owner about this where, you know, there weren't the hot candidates out there. There was no Kyle Shanahan. There were, you know, there wasn't the guy that some teams were kind of tripping over to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I don't think this is going to continue, because the next cycle we're going to see is GMs getting blown out.
So what he's thinking is, since a lot of these hirings are the next coaching hire for a general manager, that he's saying, I want to be in charge and make sure we get the coaches that I want in here. And I think it's more of, you're going to reach for coaches that have head coaches that have less coaching experience because you want the next hot commodity. And when you do that, he's not going to have the same connections. And I don't see it stopping. I think every coach, I think the BA, the world of the BA, the old coach is probably over. And I think it's going to be once every 5 years, a defensive, maybe a little better than that, once every 3 years, a defensive coach gets a head coaching job.
It's just stunning right now. It really is. This is, the Cardinals are exhibit A as to how the football universe is morphing, Basinonians, and it's stunning to me. Metaphorically speaking, imagine yourself driving in a celestial car towards the center of the football universe, and you're sitting on the front bumper. That's where the Cardinals are this morning. That's where they are. They hired this young savant, brilliant mind, and now they're staffing out his coaching staff for him.
If I'm driving this car and I'm traveling at the speed of light and I turn my headlights on, what happens?
Okay. Did you guys plan this? Was this in the pre-show meeting?
What happened right there?
You guys going to throw this philosophical BS out there? Is that where this came into? No, the real question is, in this situation, is Wolf camped in the left lane? And is there a left lane
is.
In space?
Even at light speed, you're still in the left lane.
And Doug's passing on the right in space? Can you pass on the right in space?
I'm at 1.5 warp trying to get around you.
Yes, right. Okay, hush. I'm talking to old
school. Where's ludicrous speed on this thing?
Number five.
Just knock it off. I'm talking to old school football coaches that are blown away. Number one, what is the biggest change in the football universe going on right now? How you prepare a football player to actually play in a game in the NFL. That's number one. That it's not the rule changes. It's how you prepare a player to play in an NFL game. Number two, the fact that you literally will hire a head coach and not listen to the guys that he's going to tell you to go hire. You're going to tell him you're going to take this coach. Isn't that right, Adam Gase?
Either way, I think I found the button.
Right, and that's exactly the look on Gase's face like he was being electrocuted.
Can we divide the NFL right now into the haves and the have-nots? Either you have today's offense or you have yesterday's offense. Chris Harris Jr., the all-pro corner for the Broncos, gave a brutal assessment of the Broncos' offense after the season ended, where he said, we're behind the times. Our offense has stagnated. We need to get with today's trends.
Blending.
And so I'm very intrigued, not as much. I'm obviously intrigued with Cliff Kingsbury. I'm intrigued by Bruce Arians going to Tampa and whether that system, how effective that system is still going to be.
Sometimes you can be so retro, it's a bonus.
Yeah, but to Paul's point, what about Andy Reid? Is Andy Reid retro because the base of the play is 30 years old?
He's brilliant.
Or is he fantastically on the cutting edge because it seems like nine people are in motion
right
before you actually snap the ball?
As the players say, there's a ton of eye candy with Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah.
He's always getting your eyes going one direction or the other, and you'll look over here, but the play's going that way. BA's system is not like that.
No. Mm-hmm.
Not as we've known it.
No.
Is he going to evolve it?
The bash and bomb, baby.
Could you imagine if he runs the basic BA offense, but he does it behind the Andy Reid motion? It's going to be even harder to figure out. I mean, and who's doing what? Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? If not, do it right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast. It's brought to you this week by Kinetico.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the Cardinals continue to look for one, however, of the positions that they haven't filled. And for some people, it's the most important one.
And Wolf continues to whine about the officiating in the Suns game.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
On this one, Douglas.
Oh, no.
Let's go.
Go ahead. I'm thinking.
No, I'm fine right here, man. Yeah, I'm just fired up this morning. Have been Basinonians since 6:03.
We are, just to let you know, we're about a month away, and boy, will this be interesting. Hopefully we can pull this off this year. We're about a month away from Newsmakers Week. We did it in year two of the Doug and Wolf show, and then we actually had a lot going on. The Cardinals went to the Super Bowl, and the Suns were hosting the All-Star game all in about a 3 week time span. So we didn't do Newsmakers Week in the second year, the third year of the show, but for its second year, and then it's been an annual thing ever since. So we've always done it. It's the it starts a week after the Super Bowl, and it is the moment where all of the local sports teams are invited to come in studio. That's the only rule. You've got to come into the Auction Community Studios, and then you talk directly to you, the fans. And we've had amazing cooperation in the past.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking forward to it happening again. But with all of the changes with the Arizona Cardinals, who knows how many people they might be bringing for us to get to know, because we got a lot of people to get to know.
Yes.
With the Arizona Cardinals this year for Newsmakers Week.
No doubt about it, man. Looking forward to that. I do every year. It's just a cool thing. It's a little reset here, right? And when do we do it, Douglas? We always do it between when?
It's always a week after the Super Bowl. So
we
spend a week just kind of, okay, you know, going through, you know, adjusting to the Super Bowl, reacting to the Super Bowl. So this week I might have to have Maloney, you know, jump in and remind me, but I think it's February 11th through the 15th this year. If I've got that right. And I just got a verbal thumb and a real thumb at the same time.
I just want to thank all the teams out there that actually participate and cooperate with us.
Yeah, because it's hard for them.
Really appreciate
it. The Diamondbacks are always right in the middle of pitchers and catchers,
yep,
reporting. The Suns and Coyotes are in the middle of their season, and the Cardinals are getting ready for the combine. And then yet they still find time to join us. And then ASU, it's like right at the end of recruiting. It's really hard for Herm Edwards, and he will do it anyway every year. And so it's a good time, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to that. That's coming up in a month. The Cardinals are looking for an offensive coordinator, and it's funny. I didn't mean to, but I found an interesting article on the fact that the Jets are doing the same thing. And obviously the Jaguars are still looking for an offensive coordinator, I believe. Mm-hmm. If you're a Jets or Jaguars fan and I got that wrong, feel free to tweet me, because I haven't seen if they've hired somebody. And the Cardinals were kind of talking to two guys mainly. They talked to a bunch of people, but it seems like they're honing in on John DeFilippo or Jim Bob Cooter as being their guy. This is kind of an odd piece of sound. This is about 50 weeks ago from Matt Patricia, the head coach of the Lions.
He's someone, again, that has worked with a lot of guys that I've worked with in the past, and someone that everyone speaks very highly of. And I have a lot of respect for, because I've been on the other side of the ball, you know, going against him.
And then he fired him.
That's Matt Patricia?
That's
right?
Matt Patricia.
Boy, it's just
talking on February 7th of last year, now 2018. It's so weird to say last year for 2018.
Yeah.
But talking about him, because he kept Jim Bob Cooter on the staff because of how well he did with Matthew Stafford.
Correct.
And then fired him late in the year last year.
Yeah, it was kind of a mutual agreement. They had that all set up for the most part, from what I'm told, from what I understand. It was just an acknowledgement that at some point in time, Matt Patricia was going to want to bring in his own guy. But it was a nod, of course, to Matthew Stafford. It makes an awful lot of sense. That what doesn't make a lot of sense is just listening to Matt Patricia talk and realize that voice is coming out of his body. It just doesn't seem right. That's number one. But that's not what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals.
That's why we were talking about Jim Bob Cooter.
I can tell you right now, this is going to sound really bad. Really bad. I don't care. You already got Cliff Kingsbury. You got Cliff Kingsbury. He's going to be the guy. And you already signed Sean Coogler, the offensive line coach. Sean Coogler is going to work very, very closely with James Saxon, the running back coach, and they're going to devise a running attack, a rushing attack. They're going to be able to blend it. They're going to be able to take Cliff Kingsbury's offense, his brilliant mind, and blend it with more traditional schemes and personnel groups and concepts, and make it fit, make it work in the National Football League, where you're not only protecting your offense and providing aid, comfort, and shelter, but you're also doing it for your defense. This is Sean Coogler right now. It's huge. And the reason why I say this is we've got glowing reports on Sean Coogler. Solid old school guy, right? He emphasizes physical, dominant styles of blocking. It's more of a throwback scheme. Now, they're going to blend it all. You can no longer be dogmatic when it comes to how you're going to run the ball. You can't. You can't, oh, we're going to be a power scheme, a gap scheme. We're going to be a man scheme. We're going to be a zone scheme. You have to be it all. That's your scheme. You have to be it all in the National Football League. And that's the beautiful thing about it. Again, it's not being myopic. It's not being dogmatic. It's being open-minded. Expand the football universe. Don't contract it. That's what they're acknowledging they must do with Cliff Kingsbury and the coaches that he's been hiring. So when I sit here and I think of the offensive coordinator, I know how important that is. I know how important it is, Basinonians, and I don't mean to belittle the man in any way, shape, or form, whomever is going to be hired as the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals. He's going to do a lot more than I'm making it sound, okay? But having said that, if Cliff Kingsbury is everything we think he is, and everything the Arizona Cardinals think he is, and it's the reason why you'd go ahead and say, hey, Cliff, by the way, we don't care who you got as assistant coaches. We really don't care. Because we're going to tell you who you need to take. Why would you do that right there? Just because I went with the coach's voice? Hey, Cliff, we don't really care. We got your coach for you. Don't worry about it, boy.
Who sounds like that?
Some old coaches, they do. But don't miss the point, because we're playing this really cool music. If you're in the Appalachians, the point is so unbelievable to me. The model has changed in the National Football League and is changing and will continue to change in front of our very eyes. But who the offensive coordinator is? Tell me who the offensive line coach is.
You know what I wouldn't be able to accept? Is if Jim Bob Cooter loves hip-hop more than country.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I hate country music, but
I love country music.
I can't stand country music. It makes me nervous.
I go all the way from, listen, I...
But if Jim Bob Cooter doesn't like country, that's like sacrilegious. That doesn't sound right.
I like it really hard, really ugly, and fast, ladies and gentlemen. Or I like country. Does that make sense? And if I want to get sentimental, I'll go grunge, okay?
Sentimental?
Sentimental.
Like a nice romantic evening with Nirvana?
If I want to think about, the light that has been provided to me through my Lord, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I play grunge. It does. It makes me think of my faith and the deliverance. Thank you, God, for what you have given me. It does. And I love it, man. That music... Back in the dark days, goodness, I lived that music. I walked that music. I was that music. And now I listen to it, and it just makes me feel of what I believe. It's a beautiful thing. I'm sure there's not a lot of people out there that understand grunge music and see it that way. I do. But to me, this is music of a different sort that we're seeing, and it's energizing and it's terrifying as well. I talked to some old school football coaches. I'm talking about guys that coached for decades in the National Football League and guys that are coaching in the National Football League right now. And they're like, well, if I'm telling you, we've never seen anything like this before. Absolutely nothing like this. Where you're suddenly, organizations are identifying good assistant coaches and saying, no, we don't want you to go anywhere. Because you're really good at what you do, and we know that. We're not going to bring somebody in here when we know you're one of the best secondary coaches in the National Football League. Why would we do that? Because we're hiring a new guy, and he's going to bring some crony in here? I'm telling you right now, this is changing. The morph is on in the NFL. And this is only going to continue. And it makes perfect sense from an organizational standpoint. We got a guy we know is a great coach. And by the way, the players that he's coaching right now, they love him. Why would we let you? We need a new head coach. We need a new direction. Why would we let somebody come walking in to our organization and then suddenly bring a bunch of riffraff that we don't know? When we know what we've already got, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. When I think about this, my only question, Basinonians, is this. Why did it take so long?
Did you ever think of asking the question, what time is it?
Oh.
Yeah. John Chyka, general manager.
Johnny, sorry.
Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.